Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to MBR, or as we like to call it around here, Nothing But Rants, the show where I find topics that I'm oddly passionate about, and I pontificate upon them. These are not hot takes, but rather takes that I'm hot about.
Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Film Guy Network, brought to you by our friends over at Hard Rock Bet. Hey, sometimes you stumble out of the gate, boys.
That was pretty bad timing.
Y'all get the easy job where you get to sit there and wait for the ball to be passed to you. I got to start out with, you know, cold opens all the time over here.
Sometimes the ball gets taken away.
That's right. Last show, best show. We've been to have a loaded one for you here on a Thursday night. Needed you to be a little bit more adaptable as an audience tonight for two reasons. One, we've already uploaded twice today. We had Florida season win totals on come out this morning. We had Shane Gillis, friend of the show, join us. Interview dropped just about a couple hours ago. That one's doing well already. And we had a schedule change. Here we are at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock to start tonight's show. Why? Because we had to show, with all due respect to this Rutgers game, we had to show respect for them 8 o'clock kicks. By the way, Rutgers down 21-7, just punted the football back to last year's winless football program, UMass.
Ew.
Rutgers might fire their football coach before we end the stream tonight. Who knows?
For sure.
My God. Woof. Not a great start to the Scarlet Knights season. Not a great start to tonight's live stream either, but glad to be here with you. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. It's important that you do that today because, like I said, we are a little bit off schedule than we normally are, all right? So make sure you're calling a friend, letting them know that we are live right now. So hit that thumbs up button. Maybe we'll get put in front of some new people during tonight's broadcast as well. Make sure you're liking. Make sure you're subscribing. Make sure you're telling a friend. We got a lot to talk about here. Going to try to be rapid pace tonight, boys. Going to try to be rapid pace tonight. We got SEC naming Lane Kiffin and LSU in a lawsuit. We have our final thoughts on week one. We got Sunday's headlines today. Glad this segment is returning on tonight's show. We have best bets and much, much more to talk about here tonight. Let's start with the news. Boys, not only did Greg Sankey testify for over 3 hours today, there in Baton Rouge, in a local county courthouse. He also filed a lawsuit against Lane and LSU for, if I could paraphrase, tampering with NFL rosters, basically, which goes against the rules, I guess. As if LSU fans thought Sankey would just roll over, he handed him a lawsuit instead.
Yeah, and I think the thing that's kind of interesting about this is obviously we figured Sankey and the SEC would probably take these steps. I'm kind of surprised the NFL hasn't gotten involved if Lane Kiffin truly is tampering with NFL rosters. Because if you want to, you know, tamper amongst college teams, that's fine. But from what I understand about the NFL is you do not mess with their product and come out on the other side unscathed. So,
Well, I guess the NFL is probably just hoping that it all gets settled within their own conference. And then I suppose if it didn't, then maybe the NFL would be like, okay, if you guys can't get this done, then maybe we need to step in and take care of it ourselves.
I figured that if NFL would step in at some point anyways because – their minor league product is getting messed up.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's why I thought they would by now, honestly.
And I look, it's going to be really hard to tie all those conversations back to Lane Kiffin. If indeed he did call these players, I highly doubt he was stupid enough to call them directly. I would imagine it was some conversations with agents behind closed doors. This guy is a little bit crazy. He ain't stupid. I would imagine, but I mean, fighting your own league seems to be a little bit stupid to me.
Yeah.
This is a little wild. Did you see the part where Sankey, after testifying for 3.5 hours, had to leave the county courthouse out of a special exit with extra security because there were threats on his life?
Doesn't surprise me.
Insert this league tweet.
Yeah, I mean, that's a prime opportunity for it just means more territory theirs. But no, I mean, probably not going to have media days in New Orleans anytime soon. But other than that, I mean, that's pretty it doesn't surprise me.
I mean,
SEC fans making threats on other people's lives, that happens every Saturday. Welcome to the SEC, Greg Sankey.
Mm-hmm.
I want an LSU fan in the chat today that still thinks this is worth fighting for. I think this is the worst hill to die on. If you think this is a good idea at this point, I think you're just caught up in the purple and gold Kool-Aid. That's all it can be, right?
I mean, ultimately for me, like if I were an LSU fan, it's the principle, I suppose, of like we want to stand on our own business. They can't do it to just us. It's not just us. I understand that. But ultimately, you're doing this for two players that are not going to make or break your season. These two players are not going to change you from being a national title contender to a national title winner, in my opinion. These are two players that are going to be bodies on a roster that are going to provide depth for you, and that's about it. But it's not going to drastically change the direction of your season.
Daquan Wright will change what they do offensively. They do need a true tight end. So LSU sources are telling me it's like that's the one they're fighting for. Everybody else, they're just draping it in. Well, we're doing it for the players, you know. By the way, pretty bad decisions PR-wise, so this doesn't shock me. They couldn't get those guys to wear, you know, jeans or, you know, khakis or something and a polo before walking into court. Did you see the video of Daquan Wright and Zaven Harris walking into court?
Yeah.
I mean, like they rolled right out of bed and was just like, all right, I guess I got to go to court today. It's like, buddy, you're about to go plead for your college football life. Might want to, not that the judge is, you know, not biased or anything, but I mean, probably could have gotten some team-issued polos put on or something. I don't know. We've gone well past embarrassing with this story.
Certainly.
At this point. I don't even think this is good television. I don't think this is a good talking point.
No.
I think it's just embarrassing. So, yeah, we can leave it at that. Shout out to Shane Gillis for joining us today.
Yeah.
That guy loves ball, man. A lot of people ask me, like, how did that happen? How did you book him? What's going on there? I'm like, dude, he likes watching film. He likes grinding tape. He likes listening to ball talk. He is a college football sicko like everybody else watching this today that just so happens to be famous and funny. I don't think that is a coincidence. I even asked him today during the interview, I was like, of all the cool things you've gotten to do because you are a celebrity now, your college football access has to be up there. And he's like, I'm not kidding when I say this. It is the coolest thing about being who I am. It's like I get to do what I always said I wanted to do. He said, if you would have asked me, like 17 years old, if I give you all the money in the world, what do you want to do? He's like, oh, I just want to go to college football games.
Yeah, dude.
He is one of us. So that's how that happens, man. The guy just loves ball. You'll enjoy this, Kirby. He hated on the conference love thing.
Yeah.
Like, that is the most embarrassing thing in the world. Why would you ever root for a conference?
Amen.
I'm so glad. And the way he pointed out, too, is like, oh, the team, we're going to cheer for the team that beat us because it makes us look better. No, it doesn't. It makes you look like simps. Like, stop. That makes us look better because that guy beat us up. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, he bagged on that quite a bit.
It's a loser take.
It is a loser
Amen.
Take. All right, let's do this. Let's do fans that are most / least excited entering week one. I got a caveat here. I don't think this fan base is excited or excited or not excited. I think this fan base is anxious.
Okay.
The Michigan Wolverine fan base. They have to be anxious going into this. Not because they're going to lose, but just like the anxiety of around whether or not our $12 million quarterback is actually going
to
be good.
Anxious around that. But I would say that you definitely have to be more excited as a Michigan fan because you just spent the last 2-3 years in the negative news cycle with around your head coach and around your football program. And now you have a head coach that actually has some clarity around himself. That means business, that is here to coach football and only coach football. It seems like a well-known guy that has to provide some type of excitement. Like it seems like we actually have a football coach that is here to do what his job is.
Yeah.
The hell, did UMass score again?
They kicked a field goal.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And that's why I have Michigan as a team. I think is excited for this because of what you said, like the Kyle Whittingham hire has brought some form of organization and some form of consistency. We feel like, yeah, the Bryce Underwood thing scares a lot of people, rightfully so and understandably so. But I think that there's optimism there that with this organization, with this consistency from the coaching staff, things might get buttoned up there. So I think they're excited. And plus it's going to be a game, you know, you're going to win.
Mm. What y'all got?
I mean, we just got done talking about them, but LSU fans have to be super excited about this season, right? I mean, it's nothing but excitement for you. I mean, even though that, leading up into week one, it hasn't necessarily been all about football as of late, but that's just kind of the territory you take with Lane Kiffin as your head coach. Sometimes you get caught up in the midst of things like this, but having Lane Kiffin as your head coach, that's nothing but excitement for
you. It
was
number two on my list, Jonathan. That place is going to be an absolute zoo this weekend.
Oh, yes.
I bet that fan base is probably extremely excited to scream at something other than an Ole Miss burner on their timeline.
No doubt.
Yeah, I have the Auburn Tigers on this. I think that, like we've said, they have completely 1,000% bought into the Alex Golish experience. You're going against a formidable opponent in Baylor. It's not, you know, one of these cupcake teams. It's going to be a real game between two Power 4 opponents. You have to feel good about your chances of winning that game. It's a neutral site game in Atlanta. I think Auburn fans are very excited for week one to begin.
SMU fans shouldn't feel great about what their coach said today. Did you see
that? That was so weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
Rhett Lashley, for those who didn't see it, Rhett Lashley said that he has no idea why they're favorites over Florida State, that they should be underdogs.
Like, what are we doing?
I think that's like we got to like do the opposite of rat poison type thing. Like, no, we aren't going to beat – we'll be lucky to beat these guys.
There's a much better way to phrase that.
Just say you got a tremendous amount of respect for Florida State.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be out there like, man, we suck. I don't know why. I don't know why people got us favored.
Yeah.
But first of all, coach, you're favored by 2.5 points. It's basically a pick 'em. It's like they gave you road dog treatment. Like, it is a straight up college football pick 'em. College football home field advantage is worth like 3.5 points in Vegas. So you technically are a dog, coach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're being honest here, I found that quote to be really weird. And he's normally, apart from all the anti-SEC stuff that he does, he's normally locked in.
I think this fan base might be the most excited for this upcoming season. Based on what I've seen on social media over the past couple of weeks, that'd be the Florida Gators.
Yes.
The Florida Gators, I mean, they still talk about Billy Napier like they stole millions of dollars from themselves, like from the fans. Like, that, they do not like that guy. That was pure torture to watch him coach their favorite football team the last few years. I think they might be the most excited fan base to watch someone else be representing their program this year on the football field.
This program had a rough end to the season in 2025. They were shorted from the playoff when they thought they should have been in. They opted not to play in the most prestigious bowl game possible in college football. They're excited. They feel like they have a vindication season coming, a rematch or a redemption year. Notre Dame fans are probably very excited to see what CJ Carr's developed into, to see this offense, to see a lot of the veteran players around it, and beat up on a Wisconsin team that is going to be pretty outmatched.
South Carolina fans should be stoked to see this offense against the tomato can.
Mm-hmm.
So go kick it around a little bit.
Did you see where Kendall Briles said he didn't even watch any of last year's tape?
Shouldn't.
On Lenore's?
Throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, it was just
I had to watch whatever. It. You shouldn't have to.
bad. Very bad.
No, I Kendall Briles, friend of the show. Friend of the show.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think that Ole Miss is another team that we're going to put out there of like new beginnings. We got a glimpse of what the Pete Golding era is. We're excited for that. Trinidad Chambliss might be a Heisman contender this year. You feel like you have one of the best players at their positions on offense. I have Ole Miss fans is very excited for this.
Kirby,
season.
Did you see the story in the Burnerverse coming out of Ole Miss?
Which one?
Apparently, all of them. All the burners were tweeting about the fact that I guess like majority of their fraternities took a trip to Vegas this weekend.
Huh.
They just like, we're going to Vegas, F week one. We'll see y'all when we get back. They're really mad about that. So the male student body, they blamed it on the fact that they let a bunch of Northerners into the school. apparently the male student body, not all that excited about this weekend's football game.
Interesting. I would say that maybe
we'll see about
the student body, but the fan base is probably very excited.
We'll see what it looks like from a fan attendance standpoint. I mean, you would think Ole Miss Rebel fans are stoked to go to Nashville and get shithoused.
Yeah, I mean, they
would think.
They flooded New Orleans.
Yeah.
And that was against a Georgia team that travels traditionally very, very well. Like that, the ratio in New Orleans was 70-30, I think.
I got the last one, so go ahead.
I didn't really want to pick too many fan bases that are least excited about this college football season because it is week one. It should be nothing but good vibes. It should be nothing but excitement. But the one fan base I did pick was Vanderbilt's. I think that considering what you've been blessed with the last two seasons with Clark Lee and blessed with at the quarterback position and just the rise of your program, I think you're kind of staring at a season that you even think is probably going to be a step back from this year, and you're not even going to get to watch your starting or your five-star quarterback start the season. I'm sure you'll get to see him plenty this year, but just not too much to be excited right now, I would say.
Are we on to not excited now?
That's just the one team I had for least excited.
I have a few. Wisconsin's obviously one for the reason that they're going against Notre Dame.
Damn it.
I don't think Stanford's very excited for week one. I think they had a really fun start to the season in week zero. You won a really close game against Hawaii. Davis Warren performed really, really well. Looks like there might be something there, but now you're playing Miami, and I think things kind of change there. I don't think Stanford's really excited to have that come back to reality moment.
I have one more left. So I didn't do a whole list of – I didn't split them most excited, least excited.
The other two I have for least excited, Clemson. I don't think there's a lot of Clemson fans that are excited to go into Death Valley against a team that I think is going to be better than them. I think there's a lot of fans that'll tell you I'm excited for football season to start, and they're, you know, posting only a few days till the season begins. But for the most part, the majority of Clemson fans I have spoken to are not very excited for Saturday. And then the final one for I have, you hit on this a little bit, but much less Vanderbilt, just Jared Curtis is probably not excited for week one. I think that he imagined that he would be the starting quarterback coming into this game. The fact that he's not is probably a little disappointing.
Mm. I'm all good.
My final one. Everyone should be the most excited that you're going to be, the most hopeful that you're going to be entering the season in week one. You should be in what I would like to call the Will Compton phase of your offseason, where we're right into week one, we're about to start our season. We're going to do it. We're going to go 9-3 and sneak into a playoff. We're going to go 10-2. We're going to figure out a way to do it. I'm buying this team. That's where you should be right about now, unless you're a Wisconsin Badger fan. You're going to get your heart ripped out like week one, and it'll be done for that point. So, yep. And apparently, if you exist, Rutgers Knight fans. So, you guys.
Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet fans. Knights. Yeah, that's rough.
No doubt.
So, all right. Sunday's headline today. My favorite segment of the season. Every week. I love on Thursday nights, last show, best show. By the way, we're going tight 45, tight 45. We're going to be here for an hour and a half tonight. Everybody's got things to do tonight, so I don't want to tank the numbers. We've been doing great numbers, so we're going to squeeze this one down just a little bit. We're going fast tonight. Sunday's headlines today. You ready?
It's here.
Super Saiyan starts season sizzling. Julian Saiyan's new horsepower on display versus Ball State.
You know, I like the Super Saiyan alliteration you threw in there.
It's contagious.
Typically these alliterations get a little, you know, grabby or reachy. That's a good one. Super Saiyan. I like it.
Lane's LSU leaves lawyers on D&D during win over Clemson. Despite all distractions, Lane and LSU handle Clemson. I'm dumping the clip. Rebels racing behind running back Kewon Lacy. That's all. Oh, Tuesday's headline today. You ready?
I was waiting for you to do one of these.
Yes.
Ashton Daniels deniers down bad after he dominates SMU.
You know, I had one like that. Norvell not done yet. I think I've predicted Florida State wins this football game. I'm sticking to my guns. I think they do. I think they get some a lot of momentum here. Give me the Noles shock in the world. On
Talk to me. Off of Ashton Daniels' 300-yard, like, Heisman-level performance?
In a Kevin Jennings disaster class.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Kevin.
I'll take the pro Ashton Daniels. What do you got for me, Joe?
Keelan Russell proves Grubb and DeBoer made the right decision. Just going to light it up against East Carolina. Fans are going to be raving about it. We got our quarterback. This is the future. This is the building block of the return of our dynasty. I think Alabama fans are going to be feeling really good about Keelan Russell as a starter. On the flip side, fans remain split on Florida QB decision. I think Aaron Filo is going to play solid football on Saturday against FAU. But then I also think that I'm blanking on the backup quarterback's name at this moment.
Where at?
For Florida.
Tremel Jones.
I was just blanking on it. Tremel Jones, I think he's going to come in there, do some fun things that is going to grab fans' attention. Especially for the side that really wanted him to be the starter, I think they're still going to be pitted against one another.
Did y'all speak on that Kiffin article that came out yesterday? Here's my thoughts. Greasy. What's up?
No, nothing. I mean,
you don't have to talk about that. You can continue with your Sunday's headlines.
I have two more. Matt Campbell makes a statement in first game as a Nittany Lion. They're favored by 24.5 points against Marshall this weekend. I think they're going to win that one larger than that margin, in my opinion. And then my final one, it's guaranteed to be written. It's 100% going to happen. You could just go ahead, put it in your mind. This one will be said on Sunday. The Tigers beat the Tigers.
Ooh, safe bet. Good, a good one. I like it. The other two I have, the Keelan Russell one, I also had something similar. Like, I feel like this is where you can get a week one like Heisman hype for this guy. I believe in him. I believe he's the right decision. I think he's going to make some really good plays against ECU. I think Keelan Russell asserts his name into the Heisman, as does JKS. I think he's another guy that we're talking about on Sunday night or Sunday, whenever the headlines come out, and we say, man, this guy is the real deal. He dotted up UCLA. I'm in on that one. The final head one. I don't know what the headline is going to be for this. I don't know what's going to be said. I don't know what the soundbite is going to be. But Joey McGuire is going to say something smart about Will Hammond and send a shot at the rest of the country, and that's going to get grabbed all over Twitter. I don't know the headline, but I can just predict that's going to be the case.
It can't be anything about how y'all were doubting this guy. Because, buddy,
you were
so
too.
Were you.
You definitely did want him to be your starting quarterback. I can
all
tell you that.
All your
much.
Offseason decisions have been, oh, man, we can't play this Will Hammond guy. We just can't play this Will Hammond guy. Who does the country want to win, Christian Kirby?
Yeah, so I've got a couple of games from week one, and I think we'll just discuss which where's the country set on. We obviously know what Vegas thinks. We have our predictions. But deep down in our hearts, what does the United States of America want to happen on Saturday? First one I have is Boise State at Oregon. Who's the country want to win here? I feel like if you're going to talk about the powerhouses and top five teams, Oregon's probably the most likable one of those. But man, an upset in week one against an unranked opponent?
Yeah, no, it can't be Boise State here. Unless you're just rooting for chaos, which yeah. American football fans tend to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go...
I don't know of any national analyst that's rooting for that one because way too many of us have Oregon winning the national title.
Or in the national title, for that matter. Yeah. I would think that most people would want Oregon to win outside of the people that want to get caught up in the silly conference debates.
Okay. How about Louisville versus Ole Miss? Who does the country want to win that game?
Louisville.
Probably Louisville, if I had to guess.
I was going to say Louisville.
Because while I do think that quite a few people want Ole Miss to kind of prove Lane Kiffin wrong and want them to, like, understand that it wasn't just because of Lane that they were winning. Like, this is actually a place where you can win meaningful games and you can be a great football coach. I would imagine most people are going to be rooting for Louisville.
Yeah, I think the way Ole Miss fans handle themselves towards the back end of the season and the offseason kind of rubs some people the wrong way. I think Louisville is going to be the team people want. SMU at Florida State.
I think people are rooting for FSU to just crash the hell out.
Yeah.
As if it hadn't been bad enough the last 2 years. I'm personally rooting. Well, no, I don't even think Florida State fans are rooting for winning at this point. I think Florida State fans are like, can we just make it bad enough to get rid of this guy?
Yeah, I could see that.
So give me SMU in that category.
Yeah, probably SMU.
I want Florida State to win, but I think the country is very much like looking at Norvell, like he's kind of like a sick dog where it's like, just end this, please.
Will you hurry up and die?
It's ugly. We don't want to see
like
this
like the dog in the Odyssey. Like yes. That thing is struggling, man. Will you just let it go?
Yes. Baylor versus Auburn. Who does the country want to see win that game?
Baylor, I guess. Unless you're a Florida fan and you just don't want to see DJ Lagway succeed.
Right. By the way, rightfully so. That guy has done everything he has said this offseason has made Florida fans be like, bro, will you shut the heck up?
Yeah, acting like the place you were at was the problem and not yourself.
Acting like living in Gainesville, Florida means that God's going to forget about you is the final straw.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you there. I agree. Like, there's no reason for Florida fans to be rude.
Just stop
for
talking about it, man.
Yeah.
And I don't even know when he got those quotes because Ross, it could be one of those things where Ross Dellinger talked to him back in like June and waited until Baylor was actually noteworthy to release this article. But stop. Stop talking about him, man.
It's very similar to when Carson Beck was like, Miami made me love football again.
Yeah.
It was like, brother, look, we get last season wasn't great for you, but you were the starting quarterback at the University of Georgia. Like, yeah. It wasn't that bad.
Dude, you made $5 million in the 2 years you were in Gainesville, Florida, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. And by the way, that fan base treated you like you were about to be God's gift to football until, guess what? You stunk it up.
Yep.
So, go ahead.
Who will the country be cheering for when the UCLA Bruins take on the Cal Golden Bears?
Split 50-50.
I think people want to see.
I think people would be happy no matter what the result of that is.
Tennessee fans won't be.
Yeah, they won't be. But
I think that's the only vested interest in that football game. Tennessee probably. Fans hate watching Nico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
Other than that, I think everybody's just going to be rooting for a damn good football game.
Yeah, as many points as possible down to the wire.
Light it up. Keep me up at night.
Yep.
Final one I have, and it kicks off in about 35 minutes. Who's the country going to be cheering for when the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets take on the Colorado Buffaloes?
I think it's going to be Georgia Tech. People aren't still religiously hate watching Colorado, but I think there's still been some recent events that would lead people to want to see that program continue to teeter off.
I think this is one of those 50-50 splits where they're just going to be happy either way because they'll get to make fun of a team. If Georgia Tech wins, we get to make fun of Colorado because of how much of a joke that program has become. If Colorado wins, we get to make fun of Georgia Tech because they lost to such a joke of a program. So I think we're just going to have a really solid hate watch all the way around for both teams.
Let's see if we can squeeze best bets and final thoughts into a tight 5 minutes, and then we can do 30-30 tonight. I'm really just trying to squeeze this out.
Oh, geez, all right.
Because here's the deal, and fans, I'm not trying to shortchange you here, but YouTube's new algorithm basically says if your live concurrent viewership is not very good, they're not going to put that in front of other people. So trying to squeeze this, let you guys go watch some football tonight. You think it's a good decision? I know what the chat's going to tell me, but it's a business decision at this point.
Okay. I mean, hey, business is business.
You know me, really trying to short my way out of work. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how I do things. I just try to cut corners every time I get a chance. Best bets, what do you got? Not available on many books, all right? Not available on many books. I don't even think Hard Rock's carrying it. But if you can find your local bookie allowing you to lay that or take that 40.5 points that they're giving North Alabama against Arkansas, take that sucker. That thing is a lock. However, USC over on Hard Rock Bet is laying 22.5 points against Fresno State, and I got a sneaky feeling that Lincoln Riley's not taking his foot off the gas in this one. He did last week, and it cost him. In a lot of facets from a standpoint of his defense allowing 23 points in the fourth quarter. Not going to happen this weekend. You already heard first. USC rolls Fresno State this weekend.
I think you just turned a best bet into a you heard it here first unless it doesn't happen.
So. No, it's happening. It ain't even going to be unless it don't. It's happening. USC covers the 22.5 this weekend.
All righty.
My first one, now I had trouble finding some lines that I like, so I ultimately went with a good number of over-unders. First one I like, Ohio State versus Ball State at 56.5 points. I think that Ohio State's probably going to be good enough on their own for like 48 points, 47 points in that one, which means Ball State just has to do a little bit of work offensively in that one to make it hit the over. So that's the first one I like for best bets.
That line was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, 50.5, I think it is on Hard Rock Bet. Woo! That's insane.
That's a lot. If there's one thing that Shane Beamer has not done or has at least been consistent with during his time at South Carolina, it's been kind of failing to launch at week one, like not really coming out of the gate strong. Happened against Virginia Tech last year. Old Dominion was a struggle 2 years ago. They're 36.5 point favorites against Kent State. I think that's just a little too much. I think they'll win this game handily, but I could see it much more being a 25-26. So give me Kent State plus 36.5.
I like Georgia Tech minus 6.5 going on in like 30 minutes. If you can run over to Hard Rock Bet and get that before the line moves, all lines subject to change. Mm-hmm. I have one lock left here in just a second.
Okay, I've got two more, then I have my lock of the week. Next one that I like, Mississippi State versus University of Louisiana Monroe, over 54.5 points. If there's anything that I can count on Mississippi State doing, it's scoring points and usually giving up points as well. That plays well into the over this week. So again, 54.5 points in that Mississippi State game.
I have Tennessee State as my lock of the week. Look, it's 14-0. Kirby Smart has not done this. I say not betting on teams is something I don't do or not betting on my team. I'm not going to do it, but up until this point, it seems like it's free money. Plus 46.5 for Tennessee State. Give me the Tigers covering.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. I almost thought about doing it. I think it's Tennessee State. I was going to go the other way, honestly. I think Tennessee State is
That bad?
Yeah, I mean, I think this might be one of the worst teams you've seen play inside Sanford under the
really?
Career. Yeah. It's gonna look pretty rough. I don't even think you can call the dogs off at some point. Unless it's like 35-0 at half and both coaches decide running clock. Which is why if I were our friends at Hard Rock Bet, I probably wouldn't even put this one up.
Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first, people. The Brooks Austin curse will strike again. And Tennessee State will cover and make that a one-score game.
Here's the lock of the week. Lock of the century. Texas State versus Texas, the under at 59.5. This line's a little funky to me. It's under 30 points that Texas is laying, but the line's damn near 60. Will Muschamp ain't giving up 30 points on defense against Texas State, even though Steve Sarkisian said he wouldn't be surprised if this Texas State team is a playoff team at the end of the year. How about that, Steve Sarkisian?
You want to talk about respect? Steve Sarkisian got a lot of respect.
We're playing a playoff team this weekend, so says Steve Sarkisian. Under hammered.
Interesting. I like this. Then my final line, my final best bet, I think, Miami versus Stanford. This is a unique line exclusive to Hard Rock Bet, I believe. 5.5 total offensive touchdowns scored in that game. I'm hammering the over. I think Miami can hit that. I can think Miami can hit 5 on their own. Stanford is good for at least one touchdown this game. Over 5.5 total offensive touchdowns between Miami and Stanford. I like that.
Now, my third one, this is just kind of so I can be blessed this weekend. UNLV versus Hawaii, over 56.5 points. Just give me the shootout. Just make it happen. Or one of these teams to score a bunch of points. I think Dan Mullen and that offense can score points for sure. So I like that one. And then my lock of the week is Auburn over 201.5 rushing yards against Baylor.
Line.
Yeah. I think Byron Brown's going to be good for a good chunk of rushing yards in this one. I think this offense in general, as we talk about with wide choice offenses, they're always good for opening up the run game, especially against this Baylor defense. I think they're going to hit over that mark of 201.5.
I like that.
Let's be real quick here. I know we normally do a bunch of final thoughts. Give me one final thought like this one right here. Just because it's a good game doesn't mean it features two good football teams.
Speaking to yourself right now.
I am. I'm speaking to former Brooks Austin. Don't do it. Don't leave Baton Rouge saying you just watched two playoff teams. Do not do this. Just because you watched a good football game doesn't mean you watched two good football teams. I think a lot of people fell into this with UNLV Memphis last week too. Memphis is a good football team. I don't think UNLV is. All right, what do you got? Final thought.
This is given some recent history with how seasons start and also just what we've seen from the quarterback position in general. So I'm just going to give a take out there. Hopefully it hits. One of these returning stud quarterbacks is going to put up a stinker this week. Yes. It'll either be Dante Moore, it'll either be Sam Leavitt, it'll either be Arch Manning, or it'll be Lenore Sellers. I think like there's just no possible way we get through week one and all of these great quarterbacks that we have returning to the sport just start off this season with flying colors, the best quarterback in the country. Like, I think one of these guys is going to disappoint in the first week.
Oh, you went specific with it. I like that one. This is a general take, but I feel like this is where it's kind of been for the week one. There's way too much chalk on this schedule right now for us to think that something catastrophic isn't going to happen in week one.
It's happening. It's happening with Rutgers and UMass.
That
right
is
now.
Catastrophic. I'm talking about that will send shockwaves through the sport. There's a lot of people right now that have no idea that Rutgers is getting the hands put on them right now. I'm talking about something between a national title contender or a top 15 team. Something catastrophic is going to happen this weekend. College football is too insane for us to go full chalk.
All right, before we go to our local hour, Jonathan, I do want to give some love to our friends over at Hard Rock Bet. Ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Hard Rock Bet Sportsbook. Whether it's rivalries, trash talk, bragging rights, it's all a part of this game of college football that we all love so much. But there's one thing college football fans can all agree on. Hard Rock Bet is easy, safe, and trusted with thousands of five-star reviews. You can back your favorite football team all season long, whether it be from the couch, hanging out at the tailgate, or even inside the stadium, especially for our friends down there in the state of Florida. Hard Rock Bet knows college football in Florida. They're Florida's only legal app to bet on college football, but you don't have to be in the state of Florida to join the party that Hard Rock Bet's got going on. They're also live in Arizona, Ohio, New Jersey, Indiana, Tennessee, Virginia, Illinois, Colorado, and Michigan, with more states on the way. And right now, listen up, right now, all customers, new and existing, can place a $5 bet to get $100 in bonus bets. That's right, $5 gets you $100 in bonus bets. So if you don't have the Hard Rock Bet app today, what are you doing? Head over to hardrock.bet/filmguy. That's hardrock.bet/filmguy. Get the party started on Hard Rock Bet today. Must be 21 or older. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today. Please gamble responsibly.